One of the simplest ways to stay out of credit card debt is to save for major purchases. Hi, I'm Rob West. By planning ahead and saving for things you know you're going to need or want in the future, you avoid having to borrow. And taking certain steps can make this a lot easier. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, you might be thinking, save for things I'll need in the future? Isn't that my emergency fund? Actually, no, it isn't. This is sometimes called a sinking fund, a term borrowed from the business world. It's a pool of money you regularly contribute to, so you'll eventually have the cash you need for an upcoming big-ticket expense, like a vacation, a new car, or home repairs. And think about this, you're actually paying yourself to delay that major purchase, because your savings will accrue interest. Compare that to putting the purchase on a credit card with a sky-high interest rate, where you're paying to use someone else's money for a time. By grasping this concept of delayed gratification, you'll save yourself a ton of money over your lifetime. You also won't be tempted to tap into a retirement account for a major purchase. That is extremely expensive money. You'll have to pay taxes on anything you withdraw and possibly a penalty. Besides, that money is for another major purchase, your retirement. So what's the best way to save for your big ticket item? Well, first, you need a goal. Let's say you want to put a new roof on the house and you estimate it'll cost $7,500, which is pretty typical these days. That's your goal. Next, you have to look at your budget and determine how much you can pull each month from other categories to go toward your new roof. Let's say that's $500. Divide $7,500 by 500 and you get 15. That's how many months it will take you to save up enough cash to replace your roof. Of course, if your roof's leaking now, you can't wait. But instead of automatically borrowing, see if you can get it patched temporarily until you've saved enough to replace the roof. That's the attitude you want to have. No matter what you're saving for, always be asking, how can I avoid borrowing and still get what I need? It's okay to start small. If you can't put away $500 a month, start with $100. But begin looking for ways you can increase that amount by cutting your expenses. Be flexible. It's okay to adjust your savings as needed. Just keep in mind that you want to reach your goal as soon as possible. And you might think it's silly, but you can also start a change jar if you still use cash on a fairly regular basis. Empty your pockets or wallet in a one-gallon jar or jug and forget about it. When it's full, you'll have another $400 or so toward your goal. So, now you're ready to start saving, but where should you put that money? Well, it should definitely go into a separate account apart from your usual checking and savings and even your emergency fund. You want to reduce the temptation to tap into this money for something else. So, put this special savings into an online bank to get the best rate. Like with your emergency fund, you can have a certain amount automatically transferred into this account from every paycheck or once a week or even once a month. Then pretend it's not there. Now, if this special purchase is something you know is several years down the road, like a car or even a house, you can put some of this money in a CD or money market account to get a better rate. I would ladder your CDs so that one is coming due every 6 months or so. As you near the target date for your big purchase, begin cashing the mature CDs and putting that money back into savings. Okay, you may remember a while back we talked about setting up SMART financial goals. That's S-M-A-R-T, and it stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. So first, specific. Make sure you know exactly what you're saving for and how much you'll need, like with our example of the replacement roof. The more specific the goal, the more likely you are to get there. Next, make sure it's measurable. Set your monthly savings goal and track how well you're doing. Make adjustments as needed. Then there's attainable. That means setting a goal that you can realistically attain. If you set it too high, you'll get discouraged along the way. Next is relevant. Make sure this big ticket item you're saving for is important, something you know you'll need or really want. That way you'll stay motivated. And finally, there's timely. Set a deadline for reaching your savings goal, and that will also help keep you motivated. It's okay if you don't get there by the deadline. Just keep plugging away until you do. So, those are some tips to help you save for a major purchase. We hope you find them useful. And when you reach a savings goal, let us know. We'd love to hear how you did it. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's hard to be told you're wrong, but sometimes that's exactly what we need to hear, or exactly what we need to say. Ephesians 4:15 urges us to speak the truth in love, growing in every way to be more like Christ. As followers of Jesus, it's our responsibility to speak the truth to those around us, but it comes seasoned with grace, love, and compassion. We should seek to build others up, not tear them down. We must also be open to receiving truth from others and be willing to grow and change. As we continue to grow in our relationship with Christ, we become more like Him. Our words and actions reflect His love and grace. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
We need to just say, Lord, I don't understand why these dark lines have come into my life, but I trust you because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are good. See, I can come to a God like that, who loves me, who's gentle, who's humble in heart.
Learn the depth of God's goodness. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central. Here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. It's time for your calls and questions today. The number, 800-525-7000. That's right, 800-525-7000. If you call right now, you can get through. And Pat is standing by. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about financially today as we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing your high calling as a steward of God's resources. That's right. God owns it all, and we're His money managers. You might say His trustees or caretakers of His resources. And so as we cultivate an eternal mindset and allocate God's money according to our values and priorities as a believer, well, it becomes a tool to accomplish His purposes in our life and in the lives of others. We'd love to talk to you about what you're thinking about today, whether it's your spending plan, your long-term savings, maybe it's some debt repayment that's just been sticking around. You haven't been able to get it paid off once and for all. We can talk about that. Maybe it's communication in marriage, so you can find an opportunity to really use the budget, the spending plan, as an instrument of peace, maybe come together around your giving in a way that you haven't previously. Whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you. you. Again, a few lines open, 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin in Savannah, Georgia. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling. Go ahead. Hi, Mary. Are you with us? All right. Looks like we're having a little trouble getting Mary on the line. So, Mary, I'll ask you to stay right there. Let's try one more time. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We got you now. It was on our end, so I apologize, but go right ahead.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a a question about an HSA account.
Yes, ma'am.
And if how much should be in there? I have $101,270.51 as of now, and it was under my husband's name. He died a year and a month ago, and I wanted to get some of that out because I just wondered how much should be in there.
Yeah, it actually becomes a very effective planning tool at retirement age. So you were his named beneficiary on that account, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so at the so that allows you to treat that HSA as your own, and you will not owe any taxes or penalties provided you use it for IRS qualified medical expenses. But one of the benefits to the HSA is that once you turn 65, you're not limited to using the HSA funds for healthcare expenses. And so the fact that you've got a substantial amount in that health savings account is a great benefit because you can see it as another retirement asset that you can spend down as needed. Now, past age 65, as you take that money out, there won't be any penalties. However, you will pay tax on it as ordinary income, again, if you're not using it for qualified medical expenses. If you are, you don't pay the penalty or the tax. But you do have an opportunity to see it almost like a traditional IRA past age 65, because as you need to draw it down for whatever purpose, if it's not for a qualified medical expense, you'll just pay tax on it in the year of the withdrawal. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. I'm 70 and years old, and I really wanted to take some out, but I don't know how to take it out. It was Optum Financial, and I did have some problems on the phone with them passing me on to one person after another. So I just wanted to know, how to go about using that.
Yes. Well, you just need to contact them and ask what options you have. I mean, typically you would be able to get a debit card against the account. You could set up an automatic withdrawal for them to send you a certain amount each month. I mean, you should have a number of options. If they don't provide those, you could look at transferring the HSA to another HSA provider like HSA Bank or one of the other highly rated HSA administrators that gives you a little bit more flexibility in terms of the options. I have an HSA account personally. I have a debit card on it. And whenever I need to use it for medical expenses, I just, swipe the card or key in my number online. It's very simple to use. And again, you should even be able to set it up for a periodic payment to you. So I would try again, see if you can get somebody else on the phone, maybe escalate it to somebody who can give you a good rundown of your options. And again, if you're not happy with the service you're getting, you could transfer that HSA to another provider, and you could do some searching on the internet just to see who's the most highly rated. HSA Bank is one that does consistently perform very high in terms of customer service. The other option you have is looking at investing this money, given that you have overaccumulated in it, which again is a good thing, and put it to work for you. So it's actually earning some money while it's in there. That's another option.
All right. Thank you so much. That helps a lot. And I wanted to ask another question.
Yes, ma'am.
A couple of friends who are very concerned about the changing status of the dollar and the digital currency, and they're taking whatever money they did have in the bank out completely. They have done that and are buying gold coins. Is that the way to go?
Yeah, I think there is some truth in what you're saying, although I don't wouldn't necessarily recommend the approach they're taking to respond. Is there some concern about a central bank digital currency? Absolutely. I mean, it would be a significant, if it goes into effect, and it's probably years away before we'd ever see it. They're still in a very early research stage. But it would require that every transaction run through the central bank, which just gives them visibility into all of our financial transactions and the potential to actually certainly monitor, but also control those transactions based on social criteria. So that's the concern, just the loss of privacy and potential for government overreach, which is why, this is something we need to continue to watch. It will have to go through Congress. And with divided government and a lot of congressmen and women that are very concerned about the implications of a central bank digital currency, I don't see how it gets through. But it's something we need to continue to stay on top of and put elected officials in office who understand the role of government and the need for privacy, which would not take us in the direction of a CBDC. So as a result of that, would I make any changes? No, I wouldn't. I think the banking system is sound, although we've got some challenges in this country, namely the monetary policy, the rising debt levels. This one that you mentioned with a central bank digital currency is another concern. We need to deal with those, and it's going to require folks who understand God's design for economics and wealth creation and the role of government to be able to help us do that through the legislative process. But I wouldn't be pulling money out of the bank. I think for safety, it's better there. I still think the full faith and credit of the United States government is worth something, despite the challenges we've got in this country. If we compare ourselves to the rest of the world, there's nobody even close in terms of the size and strength of our economy, the size and strength of the U.S. dollar. The vast majority of transactions around the world are happening in U.S. dollars. So even though we've got some problems, I think exiting the banking system or the stock and bond market is going to increase the risk that you have and cause you to have difficulty offsetting inflation, which is up right now, as you know. So I would stay the course. Doesn't mean we bury our heads in the sand. We trust the Lord. We manage our finances well according to biblical principles, and we put leaders in office that understand God's word. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Coming up a little later in the broadcast, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob will give us his week outlook. Well, not week outlook as in negative, but the week's outlook on the markets and the economy. Obviously, front and center is the debt ceiling negotiations, a tentative agreement on the debt ceiling. We'll see what lawmakers' reaction is as they get into the details. But the market basically flat today, awaiting some more additional information on that, plus additional economic data coming out this week. Bob will give us a preview of all of it. Again, that's coming up just a bit later in the broadcast. In the meantime, we've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you today with your financial questions. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Pennsylvania. Hi, Dan. Go ahead, sir.
Sir, my question is, you had a caller here not too long ago. You offered her a book about finance for young people, and I have a grandson that just completed his first year at Liberty University.
Oh.
And I want to get him on track to set this account up, but I want it in his name because he's 18 and going on 19. So that's my question now. And then can grandparents, once he sets that up in his name, only in his name, can the grandparents feed that once he gets it set up?
Yeah, what type of account are you looking for him to open there, Dan? Is it to do some investing or something else?
Well, I would say investing, because you explained several things to this caller and which way to go, and then you recommend a certain way. And then you said you were going to send her a book and also somebody, a Christian guidance, a Christian finance advisor in the area that will walk them through the steps.
I see. Yeah. Well, a couple of thoughts. Number one is, if he's really just wanting to get into investing, and I think that's a great idea. I mean, he needs to kind of take this in the right priority order. I love that he's 18, that you're encouraging him to help to start thinking about managing his money wisely and saving for the future. If he can cultivate that discipline in his life now, boy, the fruit that will come from that will be incredible. But we also want him to do it with a biblical perspective in mind, so he understands before we even learn the financial literacy side around compound interest and what it means to be an investor and be a percentage owner of an actual company as we invest for the long haul, properly diversified, but also that we understand God owns it all and the role of money is not an end, but a means to an end, and his role as a steward of God's resources. That's all really critical. The book that I may have mentioned that I think would be a great tool for him, again, focused on this area of investing from God's perspective, is called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And I'd be delighted to send you a copy, Dan, and then you can pass it on to your grandson at Liberty. I think that would be great. You know, the other thing that they have at Liberty, I'm very familiar with Liberty University, they have what are called peer coaches. And there's a basically a program that for any student who wants to connect with a peer coach that's been trained to help them understand how to get set up a spending plan for the first time, how to start investing. Those peer coaches there on campus, I think, could be a great resource to him. There's no cost to it, and he would just have to reach out and set up an appointment, which can all be done online. So I think getting a copy of this book, connecting with one of those peer coaches to get started would be a great option. And then, yes, once that account is set up, you would have the option absolutely to make some contributions to it. It would be his account, and so as soon as you put the money in, it's his money, but that sounds like what you want. And I think the key is to make sure that before he starts investing, he builds up whatever savings account he needs, you know, for the next few years, because the money he invests, he really needs to have a 10-year plus time horizon on, just in case with market volatility, it loses value. So I don't want him saving money that he's going to use next year for college or the year after that for an apartment or something like that. He needs to keep that separate in a liquid savings account and then invest in an account that's longer term. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes sense. I really like the situation that there's a coach at Liberty that yeah. can guide him through that. And you said there's no fee or nothing.
That's exactly right. And so he can reach out to those peer coaches right there on campus and get a meeting set up right away.
And he wouldn't have no trouble finding a coach like that.
No, he wouldn't. Tell him to contact at the School of Business. There's a Center for Financial Literacy. It's called the Center for Financial Literacy at Liberty University. And right there on the webpage for the Center for Financial Literacy, you can book a free session with a peer financial coach. And there's a link to make that reservation right there on the webpage.
Now, Rob, would that be in the book you're going to send me?
No, that's separate. So the book I'm going to send you is going to give him just principles of investing from a biblical perspective. But what I'm talking about now in terms of the peer coach is specific to Liberty University. So he's going to want to contact the Center for Financial Literacy at Liberty. And they have, if he does a quick internet search, he'll find it. And right there on the main page for the center is a link to book a peer coach meeting. It's free and it's available to all students.
Outstanding. That as a grandparent, that makes me feel real good and everything, because it's a fantastic institution for sure.
And there's no question about that. They're doing some incredible things. The construction that's going on there. I know they have a new incoming president that they're very excited about. Just some really exciting things happening at Liberty right now. It's one of the largest institutions now in the world. I mean, through their online plus the on-campus, I think they've got more than 125,000 students now. It's massive, but they're creating some world changers up there, and your son is in a great environment for that. So, listen, all the best to you, Dan. You sound like a wonderful grandfather, encouraging your grandson and getting him set up on the right track here as he launches out beyond college. Hopefully he'll have some great skills in the financial area that will serve him well for the rest of his life. Hey, God bless you, Dan. Stay on the line. We'll get your information so I can send that book out to you, and you direct your son to the Center for Financial Literacy there at Liberty. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your questions today. We've got some lines open, perhaps one for you. The number, 800-525-7000. Again, 800-525-7000. Call with your financial questions right now. Stick around.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'll help you apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles and ideas we find in Scripture to the practical decisions and choices you're making today. What have you been wrestling with over this holiday weekend, financially speaking? Well, we'd love to chat about it. We've got some lines open today. We can get you right through at 800-525-7000. Again, you can call right now, toll-free 800-525-7000. In just a moment, we'll head back to the phones for your questions. Plus, coming up in just a bit, Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investment, stops by with his weekly market commentary. But first, let's take a couple of emailed questions. These come into us at askrob@faithfi.com. This comes from Barb. She writes, I'm 72, retired and single. I owe $93,000 on my home. The interest rate is 3.25% for 23 more years. I have a $430,000 IRA. Would it be wise to take $93,000 from my investments to pay off my house? What would the tax consequences be? Well, Barb, the tax consequences would be significant in the sense that if you took $93,000 in one calendar year, that entire amount would be added to your adjusted gross income for the year and likely push much of it into a higher tax bracket. You do have a great interest rate on that mortgage by today's standards at 3.25%. So I'd probably, unless you just have an absolute conviction to be debt-free as soon as possible, I'd probably continue to make the payments if you can, and then let your assets in the traditional IRA enjoy the recovery whenever it happens. I assume a portion of that at least is invested, even at 72, and I suspect that's down. Now, keep in mind, the market will likely retest its lows from last October before it goes to new highs. It always does when we get into a recession, and that's what most folks are expecting. But I would wait it out, let this recover, and perhaps revisit this question in a year or two once that IRA has recovered. If you did go this route, because I understand at 72 and 23 more years, you'd probably like to get this just paid off and eliminate that mortgage expense, plus take that out of your monthly spending plan, which means you need less money each month. I would just do that over a couple of tax years. So you can work with your CPA to determine the appropriate schedule, but let's say you even cut that in half or in thirds. It took a third in one year, a third in the next, and then a third in the following. That way you wouldn't add all $93,000 in one tax year. That might be a way to go. So consider that as you think about it. But if it were me, I would put this off for a year or two before you do it. Excuse me. Barb, thank you for writing to us. This one comes from Todd. He sent this in to askrob@faithfi.com. He wrote, our church has saved $55,000 toward paying off our mortgage in 4.5 years. Our annual budget is currently $200,000. Should we have a cash reserve emergency fund after it's paid off? If so, how much and when should we start? I would say, Todd, churches should definitely have an emergency fund of somewhere, I think, between 6 months and a year's operating expenses. If there's a mortgage on the property, you could also look at what the mortgage reserve requirement is and then add to that, 3 to 6 months expenses. Once that mortgage is paid off, it doesn't have to be quite as large, but I would say somewhere in that, 6 months range, as much as 9 months operating expenses probably makes sense. What I would do is develop a policy around this as a finance committee with your church leadership as to what is the appropriate amount of reserves. I think nothing is certainly not enough. I think anything beyond 12 months is probably a little bit much, because we want to get that into programming that's going to go toward the purpose of the church to grow up the body and share the gospel. But somewhere, between 3 months and a year, I think is probably the right amount. Just to recognize there's going to be a seasonality to giving, especially just given what's going on in the economy, and having that emergency reserve makes a lot of sense. There is a great resource that's put out by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability that I would check out. It's an article that I think would be really helpful to you as you think about the appropriate amount. And it's an ECFA's website, ecfa.org. If you just search for an article called Cash Reserves, How Much is Enough? I think that article will be helpful. And it really lays out a process that the church can use to consider what is the appropriate amount for cash reserves as a church. So I would encourage you to check that out today as you thinking through this important issue. And I appreciate you raising it as a leader there in the church. It is worth your time to do so. Again, folks, if you have a question you'd like to get that into us and you'd like it read on the air, we'd love to hear it. You can send it along to us at askrob@faithfi.com. Again, that's askrob@faithfi.com. All right, we've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you as we tackle your financial questions today. 800-525-7000. You know, one of the big ideas that we deal with on this program each day is trying to look at our finances through a biblical worldview, because there's the world's way and then there's God's way. You know, that cultural worldview that we have of finances comes to us every day. We're bombarded by it. It's centered on, first, materialism, the idea that you should just spend all that you can. Our culture encourages us to even spend more than we earn. It aggressively teaches us to be content. I think in many ways it attaches our self-worth to our net worth. And what we know is that materialism ultimately chokes out the word from bearing fruit. We can see this evidence in Mark 4, 18 and 19, the parable of the sower, when the disciples asked Jesus for an explanation on what choked the word out from bearing the 60, 90, 100-fold return. And it was the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things, and the cares of this world. You know, I would say that the majority of that answer centers around materialism and what we think money can buy that it ultimately can't, and that is peace of mind and satisfaction and security. Those things really only come from God. The challenge is we've got to counteract that message of materialism. And here's the reality. What I've experienced is the only way ultimately to do that, to break the grip that money can have over our lives, is giving. To hold what God has entrusted to us loosely and give it generously, because that grip of money over our lives just begins to fall away when we do that. That is the single most effective tool to counteract the materialism and greed that can really set in our lives. the key is we've got to be in God's Word, renewing our minds, because without doing anything, we will be bombarded by a message that tells us we're to be discontent. You know, that's the purpose of marketing. You will see thousands of impressions every day, whether you realize it or not, of images and messages encouraging discontentment. But ultimately, we need to replace that with our eyes fixed on the eternal, on Christ, understanding that our identity is found in Christ and that we have an abundance before even the first dollar, because recognize we were created in the image of God, the ultimate giver, and He's given us His Son to reconcile us through the Father through that substitutionary atonement through Christ's death on the cross and ultimately His resurrection to pay the penalty for our sin. That's the gospel message. And that's what we have when we're in Christ. And then we have the freedom to take what God has entrusted to us and use it for His purposes. More to come on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap Weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, in just a moment, we'll have room for a few more of your questions before we round out the program today. So what are you thinking about financially? We'd love to tackle it with you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. But first, let's head back to the phones and talk to our friend Bob Dahl. He joins us each Monday, with the holiday. Today it's Tuesday, with his market commentary and analysis. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, happy day to you. Did you have a good holiday weekend?
It was great here in the Northeast. We had perfect weather. Thank the good Lord.
Yeah, we're grateful for that. Well, Bob, what are you watching this week? I suspect the debt deal has something to do with what you're looking at.
Yeah, I think so. Three things on my list. The debt deal is number one, and how does that go from an agreement between House Majority Leader and President down to a passed bill? It's going to be bumpy, but I think we'll get through. Two, the whole AI phenomenon and NVIDIA becoming a $1 trillion market capitalization. And thirdly, we talked about this before, Rob, the narrowness of the stock market. The S&P 500 is up 10% so far this year. NASDAQ is up more than 25%. But the average stock is down. The Russell 2000, which measures small stocks, is down. And 8 of the 11 sectors are down year to date. It's been one of the narrowest markets in history. If you're not in these few stocks, you're not making any money.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And it could be misleading as we look at the broad market indexes that most people focus on and think, well, I probably should have recovered in my 401k. And then we open the statement and see that we haven't. And what you're describing may be part of the answer, right?
Bingo. I think that's exactly right. Most people appropriately have diversified portfolio. And if you have a diversified portfolio, you may own some of that top dozen stocks, but you're going to own a lot of other ones too.
Yeah. Bob, what about the tech sector? You mentioned NVIDIA. It's now a trillion market cap company, which is just incredibly hard to believe. I know there's just a small club of mostly tech companies that hold that banner over their companies. And a lot of this just has to do with where tech is going. You mentioned AI, of course, ChatGPT. Now Google has their version of it. I mean, this is obviously a big part of where the economy is going. What's your outlook for this sector?
It is positive, Rob, but there's always a caveat when you see stocks running like this. These are not safe stocks. A lot of people are running into them because they're, quote, defensive, meaning if the economy is not so good, well, my tech stock's still going to earn its money. Not so fast. A lot of these companies have economically sensitive parts of their business. So the long-term outlook for technology, my goodness, we won't grow if we don't have advances in technology. So it's almost definitional, but don't get caught up that these are safe stocks, as some people are trying to say.
All right. What about just the general overall health of the economy? Are you encouraged that it's holding up, or are we starting to really see some of the cracks come through?
I'm surprised how well it is held up, Rob. You and I have talked before, and we've seen parts of it weaken. We've been waiting for the labor market to show cracks. It's shown some cracks, but by and large, the United States economy is doing a lot better than most of us thought coming into 2023.
Yeah, very good. Bob, you had some comments out in your deliberations for this week on China. Give us just an overview of what you're watching there.
Yeah, China, we worry about appropriately for all kinds of reasons, but boy, are they struggling. There's another COVID wave that's picked up after they removed the COVID zero policy not too many months ago. The property bubble has burst there, so there are debt issues, and China's population is aging faster than probably almost any other population in the world. Put all that together, China's got some struggles.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bob, finally, we've had a number of questions lately on the crypto space. Would you revisit that just for a moment and talk about how you think about that as an investment, as a part of a diversified portfolio?
Yeah, so crypto, blockchain, whatever terms you want to use, there's a future there. There is a legitimate technology. The problems, Rob, are one, it's so new, the government doesn't even know how they're going to regulate, and they regulate all these things. And for that and some other reasons, we don't know who the winners and losers are going to be. So to me, crypto is still a speculative investment. Doesn't mean you can't make money, but it also means you can lose a bunch of money. So buyer beware.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. Have a great week.
You're the same.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations. That's his weekly investment commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Back to the phones to round out the program today. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Texas. Hi, James. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, it is. I'm from Waco. I was just wondering, that guy said something about cryptocurrency. I got about 7 or 8 investments in crypto, like in Porsche, fuel cell, Dogecoin, and some a little bit in currency.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin. And I was just wondering what y'all's insight on that is. It's just pocket change that I normally come across, and it ain't nothing really. I've just been investing in certain things for the past couple of years, and my wife and I just want to make sure we're doing the right thing.
Yeah. What would you say, James, this, all of your crypto investments, what percentage is that of your total investable assets? Do you know?
No, I don't. I know I got a couple, a little over 1,500 in Dogecoin. Through the years, I've invested $10, $15, $50 here and there in it. And it ain't gonna hurt us a whole lot, but I just want to make sure I'm investing in good, in for future.
Yeah. So here's what I would say. Number one is the crypto space, as Bob said, is here to stay. That blockchain technology has far-reaching implications, not just in the currency space, but in healthcare and a whole host of other applications, just because it's secure, it's private if you want it to be, but it doesn't have to be. You can prove that you own it, and that decentralized network and the security make it very attractive. It can also be used negatively as well, and it can, has been used to, launder money and for crime and a whole host of other things. So the big question is the regulatory environment, as Bob said. What are the central banks of the world going to do with crypto? And because of that, we don't know what the regulatory future looks like. Number two, we don't know who are going to be the winners and losers. So it's kind of like the wild, wild west right now. It's like the dot-com, age in the early days. There were some big-time winners, and there were some that lost everything. And because it's still the wild, wild west, and there's so many of those uncertainties out there, despite the fact that the technology behind it's not going anywhere, I think it has to be reserved for only that portion of your portfolio that would be the most speculative. So I'm saying probably as you look at your total amount of investable assets, I'd probably keep this down around 5% of those total assets. If you have, if that's the way you approach it, then you have the ability to lose it all. I would also stay with, Bitcoin is the biggest and strongest in this space, and it has emerged as the one that's probably going to, be the most successful. I think some of these others, still the jury is out. So I'd probably, as you're approaching this, make sure that it's no more than 5%, and I'd probably not wade into some of those more speculative companies that haven't proven themselves, just because we know they can lose everything in a hurry if you're not careful. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Do you know if Dogecoin's going to it did good a couple of years ago, and then all of a sudden it just lost, it just went through the floor a little bit. I was just wondering if all this was going to go back up to, like, Bitcoin. Yeah. It was at 60,000. Then we down to 16,000, and it's going back up now.
It is. It has, and it's highly volatile, which is why, for me, I just stay out of this space as an investment personally, just because there's incredible volatility here. Doge is not entirely dead. I mean, they took a huge hit in 2022. It still has a pretty impressive market cap at this point, but there's still there's not really a huge use case for Dogecoin beyond being a faster payment network than Bitcoin. So I think there's still a lot of risk there, and it's highly speculative. So I'd be very careful with this type of investing. You can make a lot of money, but you can lose everything. And that's just not what we want to use for, well, at least what the Bible calls investing is the best approach is slow and steady. You might also think of it as steady plotting, as a term the Bible uses. Hey, thanks for your call today. Larry, quickly to Columbia. How can I help you, sir?
My question is, I turned 70 last year. I'm still working full time. This will be my last year of employment, maybe a little bit into next year. But since there's nothing else for me to accrue in Social Security, I went ahead and filed for my Social Security, and I'm now getting about $4,000 a month.
Yes, sir.
They are not taking anything out. What do I have to worry about at the end of the year when I file my taxes? I know I'm going to be taxed on 85%, but do I have to pay FICA and tax? I know, what do I have to pay at the end of the year on my Social Security income?
Yeah, let's do this. It's a great question. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. So if you stay right there, we'll tackle this one off the air. We appreciate your call, Larry, and I apologize that I got short on time. That's going to do it for us today, folks. So thankful to have you along with us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I want to say thanks to my amazing team, Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.